Woodchopper was running the biggest when I come. They had a post office there.
Oh, they
did.
And did Tofty too?
Well, Tofty was pretty well played out. There was still people around there, but the Woodchopper was the last along. You know, just deep ground, and they worked through summer and winter. They grip mine. They got these dumps in the winter and then or sleeps in the summer, and they'd also mine in the summer and sleep like that.
Well, did it burn? Did most of the buildings
attack? Well,
burn?
That was a big fire we had here in 69. It burned up a lot of the house.
Oh.
There's a few buildings.
There were still quite a bit out
there. Well, nobody was living there much.
The old stories
and post office.
Was Eureka a town too? I mean, was there post office and people?
Well, at one time, yeah, you know, and then there was a lot of years ago, they had a telegraph station. They had a soldier took care of. They had it here too, you know, they had these telephone lines. Soldiers would take care of keep that line up and keep the train open.
That was part of the military's responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That was then the wireless. Just before I come in here, a year or two, they took the wireless out of here. They had one soldier with you. They took him out. And then the NC company took it over the other radio, you know. I was with that before.
How'd that work? Was that a telegraph, and they telegraphed from one place to the next, and then they lay it on?
Yeah, I guess that's how it went to go right there. They, in the Fairbanks, you know. Well, they had a telephone line here when I come here. Well, even right after the war, and go right to the Rampart telephone line, and which offered American Creek, and then they moved to, well, at one time we went to Nana when I was here, you know, pretty long into.
Is that line alone?
Yeah.
Fairbanks still a lane there, yeah. Same as the
Yeah.
And
Well, Gus, there was a private line here. Gus Benson had the private line from here to Woodshop, to American Creek and Eureka. And then, of course, he'd keep up the line. Then the government would hope so much money every year for the line to the Rampart and up the Solar Valley.
NC Company, they just came in here about the same time the mining really came started.
Well, yeah, they had an old outfit, you know, from many years ago.
Was there really anything here until someone came in and started mining?
Yeah, well, I guess there was nothing here until they made the discovery, you know, 1905.
And who was it that was in these parts prospecting? Who made that discovery?
I think Sullivan, Old Sullivan was one of the first. Well, there were several around the guy, old Schneider and Sullivan, and I think they were the first guys that found it. And this top team was one of them, too.
Which creek was that, American Creek? That
no, they found that. I think the first place they found gold was on Topsy Gulch.
Oh.
American Creek grew up from there about that time, you know.
Who had the claim on American Creek? Who was the first?
Well, I don't know who was the first. There was a lot of guys there, you know, but Ness, the guy by the name of Ness, was one of the big miners there. He sold out the
Well, they had dredges mining
in this area. Well, they just have that one on there. Down there in the flat.
I can see that.
Oh.
But it's all over the flat.
Wonder how Woodchopper got it.
Well, no, I don't. I never did hear. Maybe because they chopped a lot of wood around there for. They used a lot of it, you know, for thawing ground when they were drift mines.
Sure, yeah.
Well, so they thousands of cords they cut around there, you know. In the winter. Maybe that's where they got the name. They'd let out contracts, you know. Anybody could bid on it, you know, the cheapest got the contract.
Oh, and they just stack the wood on a certain place along the riverbank and then...
Say they'd want a couple hundred for that Baker Christian, maybe a bunch of Tolovan, and then down there Cross Jacket or someplace.
What was the Cross Jacket? Was there, did people live there?
Oh yeah, there was quite a few natives who lived down there. There was quite a few.
It was like a village
at one time? Yeah, it was a village. There's probably, I'd say a dozen families live down there. Oh, there was a lot of people living on this river. Just about every bend there was a fish wheel and a trap where they trap off, you know, off the river.
Was trapping pretty good back in those days?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was magic.
Mostly Martin?
No, it was just there for, well, probably early days there was a lot of them, but when my time they had them all trapped out here, mostly foxes, you know, lake and mink and stuff like that, rats and moles.
Beaver out
and
stuff like that. What about wolves?
Well, there was, you know, a lot of women called quite a few wolves out. But there was a lot of guys trapping them, you know, every trapper there. Kind of coming down a little bit, get a few longer times.
Sure.
Then they had a bounty on them too, and they dig them off in the spring, they go look for dens, you know, and you get $20 for the pups or anything.
I suppose the skins weren't selling for that much.
No, $6-$7 a piece.
For a wolf hide?
$5-$6 for a wolverine.
Oh, God.
But like Martin, and links and that, they wasn't too bad. Like, well, at one time, foxes were real high, but when I first come down here, foxes were cheap. I don't think it was bad. But. See, this guy that lived here, Tim Willard, he said, Morrison, the guy had that store, the NC bought him off. But he had a big fox farm here. And that's when foxes are really in style, you know. And he'd get these guys, they'd dig them out, you know, go around, and he was raising them. And they'd get $1,000 for a fox, for a silver fox or a black fox.
Oh, they bring them to him live?
Yeah, right. They bring them live, you know. Foxes go around the hill to find the bends, and of course, that was a lot of money at that time.
Sure.
Here. And then he raised, that's when that big boom was coming out. He'd pair them up and raise them, and he'd sell them. The guys that want to start these fox farms, and he'd give a horrible price for them.
Oh, didn't they do a lot of fox farming down in Korea? Yeah. Some of those places, they have to be silver foxes. Is that about all?
Well, no, down in Aleutian Islands, it was all blue foxes.
Oh.
See, they just take and turn them loose on them island. They didn't have to do nothing to them. They'd live off the beaches, you know, the fish that wash up and all that stuff.
And they just go travel.
And then when the season would come, they'd go take so many off these islands. And they'd maybe I knew a guy down there, Hamshack was his name, and he was a guide down there during the war. He knew that country. Like Adak Island is a good sized island, so they take 600-800 foxes a year off of that. And then they quit, and then they leave it all back. And it was all depends how big the island is.
If they had a good year, food life.
Yeah, you didn't have to do nothing to them. They just had this company that had a lease on all these islands. And they just, in some of these bays, they just put carcass or shack, and they had traps. And then they take these tractors out from Dutch Harbor. They had a boat, you know, and they take them out, and they go out, and they leave them there for about 6 weeks, you know, and then they come and take them up, and they give them so much of help.
What was this man's name here, Morrison?
Well, he was the guy that started the frost fire. And then a guy took over, and when Tim Willard bought him out, he started raising blue foxes. just about the time he got a good market went out of him, and he couldn't hardly give them away, you know, $10-$12 a piece.
What is that, to get out of the business?
Well, he finally got tired out. And then, you
know, yeah!
When was it that the price was really good? When was he really going to
sell? Well, in about 25, 26, and that's been through there. That's when the price was really big, you know. Fur was really high. Mm-hmm. You get a hold of some of those old price lists, and really, people was using a lot of fur then. See, they didn't have this imitation fur. It was all genuine, and they were fur coats. And like in this country, when I come here, everybody had mucklucks and fur mitts and fur hats and parkas. You don't know.